You're listening to the Washington AI Network podcast, the winner of two 2025 Communicator Awards, one for excellence in the science and technology category and an award of distinction for our episode on healthcare AI, featuring tech legends Ted Leonsis and Grant Verstandig. I'm Tammy Haddad, the founder of the Washington AI Network podcast. Before we begin this week's episode, I'd like to invite you to join us at the inaugural AI Honors on June 3rd at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in Washington, D.C. This black tie dinner, award ceremony, and exclusive after party will convene 300 of the most influential leaders in artificial intelligence, from policymakers and industry to academia and civil society, to celebrate the extraordinary individuals shaping the future of technology and innovation. Visit aihonors.us to learn more. I hope to see you there. And now, on to the podcast. Hello and welcome. I'm Tammy Haddad, the founder of the Washington AI Network, and this is TGAI Friday. It's our annual event for the White House Correspondents' Weekend. As Politico reported last year, AI crashed DC's biggest weekend, and we're delighted to be back here at the House of 1229 for the second annual TGAI Friday, presented by Meta. Meta, thank you. Thanks for being here, and I hope everyone got their llama before they leave. They can get it. This morning, our members and guests have been demoing Llama, family of open source large language models, featuring AI applications from Zurin Labs, Rightsea, Authorship, and Booz Allen. Full disclosure, we've also been enjoying TGAI Friday themed menu and drinks, including the Llamalini, Instarita, Irish coffee. And thank you all for joining us. And you guys have the drinks, right? Woo! All right. So let's get started. At a time when AI is reshaping every industry, today we spotlight those using it to serve missions that matter to the nation and to the world. We want to thank Meta for presenting this event. Again, thank you, Meta. It's always fun to partner with you. And we've got breaking news today. Zane Price is the visionary behind Space Llama, a large language model that doesn't sit in the cloud. It's operating on the edge. You're going to meet Zane, who's having a little nosh, and we'll meet him a little later. It's a real honor to welcome these guests. We're going to begin with Justin Finelli. Let's say hello to Justin. Thank you. Chief Technology Officer of the U.S. Navy, leading the charge to use AI to make our military smarter, safer, and to assure our warfighters keep their competitive edge. It's so great to have you here. Justin, I don't know where to begin, but when we told everyone you were coming today, they're like, this is really cool. He's the CTO of the Navy. You know, there's so many conversations in DC about AI, how it's going to apply to government, how it's going to apply to healthcare and all these issues. And in the military, really, you're dealing with all of this.
Thank you for having me. Intersections, right? DC is a home for intersections. And to your point, there are a lot of conversations. Conversations are good. Talking is good. Outcomes are better. So we're in a phase of learning by doing. And so what we've done is we've taken sailors and Marines who are at the edge, and we've started to unleash them to see what innovations are happening. We can pull back and scale.
Where do you think the biggest opportunities are today? Because if we were having this conversation, even 3 months ago, it'd be totally different.
I would say operational resilience is one big opportunity. The idea of being more efficient and effective ashore, or CONUS, as we say, continental United States, is particularly important.
CONUS. How many knew that? Elizabeth did. Five people.
She sure did.
Five people. You're talking to the right crowd. You are educating the American people. Thank you.
We are smarter together. We're educating each other, right?
Okay.
This is where public and private comes together.
Right.
This is why we have super connectors like Tammy.
Yeah.
Right?
This is why we have the Washington AI Network, in all seriousness, to come together and to help everyone.
Get smarter. Across the board, I mean, in this public-private era, we can listen better and we can get smarter. There are so many 1+1=3 opportunities. And there were times when we were heads down, and if you don't have that peripheral vision when things are moving this quick, you're just not riding the wave. We need to be in front of this. We need to be surfing it. We need to be utilizing it. And so based on our expanded partnerships and based on how we're thinking about things differently, specifically with the private sector, I think we're able to move faster and smarter.
Well, you've been in the private sector. You've had a variety of jobs in the intelligence community. I like saying IC because it makes me feel cooler in the IC.
You like acronyms as much as CONUS, IC. CONUS, we can make anything shorter.
Well, I worked on Veep. And if I only knew about that, I could have walked around and said CONUS. They probably would have paid me more money. So you've had these variety of positions. So it's not just this position. And you've seen the industry change. You've seen government change. Where do you think today, we've got DOGE, I'm going to talk about DOGE later. Where do you think that private sector can best step in?
Let me just briefly explain how this used to work. The way that this used to work is we would find, this is across a lot of parts of government, we would find a problem and then we would very specifically define it. And then we'd go see if anyone can solve that specific problem that specific way. And that was the slowest, lossiest way to do that. And so what we've started to do now a lot more, and Congress has helped with this, the appointees who are coming in have helped with this, is number one, we want to open the door to unleash the private sector to help us solve those problems. And so we've said, here's our problem, or here is a high level thing. To get really wonky, we used to have hundreds or thousands of pages of requirements documents to say, here's exactly how we want this problem solved. Again, if someone is doing something at the edge, if we have a Marine who is solving a problem right now, and because they pulled it off of the internet, we want to learn about what those options are. And so across the board, the answer to the question is, innovation adoption is particularly important to us. We are working with private sector at a higher level to say, here are our problems. What can you do to fix them? How do you move the needle? Instead of over-specifying so that there's less competition and it takes a really long time to build a custom solution. So commercial off the shelf has been something that we've been pushing for a little while. There's a huge uptick in our ability to adopt commercial off the shelf now.
Okay, we have a new Trump administration. And speaking of the Pentagon, but not any of the politics, do they agree with what you're talking about? The new administration coming in, I mean, they've talked in the larger picture. They brought in a lot of tech folks, but at your level, have you felt that change?
These are folks who at Department of Defense recognize that we have a lot of what we call technical debt. Sometimes the CIO describes it as, we have a pretty old house and it's full of furniture. I think across the board, people recognize that we needed to get some of that out. And so the idea of divesting to invest is not only supportive, but we're getting helpful push. Our new secretary comes from the business world, all about return on investment, wants to make that happen. That expedites more quantitative data-driven decisions. And so we were looking at that. We had been piloting a lot of this stuff, but really fast-forwarding the innovation adoption kit and how we pull people in for different problems, I'd say the answer is yes. The more that we can divest the old way of doing things and the more that we can usher in partnered new ways of doing things, we'll see orders of magnitude improvement. We can talk about a couple of those. We were kind of settling for here's 5% improvement, here's 10% improvement. We have some places where we're getting 700% improvement, even in the last few months.
All right, let's drill down a little. The Trump administration has been supportive of open source, particularly when it comes to competing with China in AI. And I know acceleration of AI adoption by the military is a top priority of the administration. They've said it. How are you thinking about open source AI for the Navy and for the military overall?
People want to have technology discussions. The quicker we can get to measuring the impact that it makes, the better. From an open source perspective, for instance, I'm sitting next to a llama, so it's worth commenting on. The Navy covers from seabed to space. That's a lot of ground. So there are a lot of needs for modular edge compute and edge AI. And so the idea of using open source in a lot of these cases where it would be harder to get, for instance, like a fully connected large language model or an opportunity where we can scale really hard with open source. We are investors now. Show me the return on investment. Show us the difference that we're making those sailors and soldiers. And open source speaks to that. But it comes down to, do they hit the outcome-driven metrics?
We're going to talk about Space Llama a little bit later. But again, in the year that has passed, the question about open source has really been, it's gone, right? Because we're seeing all these startups. I don't know, Adam Branch is here from Rhino AI, using a little llama and some other things.
A little llama?
A little llama.
A little
llama. Is this your llama, Adam? Please don't lose your llama. Or your helmet, whoever left their space helmet, just for the podcast listeners, we do have the space helmet next. Anyway, is this changed the ecosystem or no? I mean, the idea that open source is wide open. I don't want to get into DeepSeek. It doesn't matter. We're where we are. And we're seeing, at least at the Washington AI Network, a lot of development. And are you seeing that? Are you getting more pitches? Do people pitch you directly?
Yes, too many. We want all the pitches. We have a kind of a quantification front end now. We can say, are you making us more adaptive because we saw from Ukraine and Red Sea, we can go a lot faster. Are you saving our sailors and Marines time? That's how we take pitches now, is data-driven.
So do you have like a list?
Yeah, it's five. It's mission outcomes. But on that, are we seeing a difference? Yes. So we're doing more structured challenges. To your exact point, the technology matters less than the rapid pace of change. And so where open source can allow you to iterate faster, where it can allow you to just start trying something before we go into big contract. Christopher Clark, he's a junior officer in the Marine Corps. This is a young guy who's super smart. He said, hey, I want digital transformation teams in the Marine Corps. So he's sending a team out to the 2nd Marine Expeditionary Force to look at where they can overhaul. They're not saying we want to use closed models. They're saying, show us how we can make the biggest difference quickly, and then we'll do that. Another project within the Navy, a young lieutenant said, hey, what about software-defined warfare? What about OpenShip? And so he's creating...
What's OpenShip?
Well, he's creating the warfighter data ecosystem on ships. How do you make a ship a faster, more responsive warship? With data, with taking in all of this great sensor data and acting on it.
Okay, Doge, helping or hurting? Or you don't know yet?
We had a lot of different systems that are competing. I'll just tell you a quick story. We've started in the last year designating enterprise services. We said, hey, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of identity services. We need one. And so we named Naval Identity Services the designated enterprise service. How do you get everyone to turn off their individual services? That's a lot of phone calls. I think in this particular case, and maybe more, we needed some help on turning things off. That's a muscle that private sector is stronger, has practiced more than public sector. And periods of divestment when you are no longer efficient or when that car can't move around that full garage is really important.
You remind me, it's the classic Washington problem. Again, it's not your problem of members of Congress, you know, want all of these things in their districts. They want the businesses. So it's going to be hard for them to let it go. I think that's what you're not saying. Okay, let me change the
No, let's talk about it for a second. In the past, it's been like a little bit parochial. Now that we have return on investment type data, everyone cares about these warfighters and national security. And so if it was, hey, can we move this from here to here? It becomes a discussion and then like a question and then, you know, like kind of district stuff. If we can say this is a 10 times better, or in the case of the USS Abraham Lincoln at port, we had the combat systems officer say, hey, I think we can be much better on our afloat compute. He saw something that was working in San Diego. He applied it to that ship. It's a company that we hadn't worked with before. It's really effective. Now we have the data to show that is 3 times more effective than what we were using right now. I think people with the right data make better decisions.
And what about China? How much time do you spend worried about China, Russia, et cetera? Or it doesn't even hit you because you're just focused on the technology side?
We're focused on impact. And so the idea of benchmarking and using the urgency of everything that's happening in the world, I think that's focused people significantly. So there have been times, I will surprise a room full of Washingtonians, where we've moved at cruising speed. And this is a period where we are moving and need to move at flank speed. That the threats are real, and strength through deterrence is the idea of actually keeping the peace because we have such a significant lead is attractive to everyone who's involved. And so where we can enable each aspect of our system to be significantly better, that then people don't want that smoke.
The war in Ukraine has changed the technology side. Can you talk about that?
Yep. So if 3 people knew CONUS, who knows OODA? Who knows the OODA loop?
Oh, more. This is a smart crowd.
All right. So observe, orient, decide, and act is the speed for just overall response, right? And what we saw in Ukraine was what people had predicted, but I think hadn't realized, which is things are going much faster. And so if you're in a passive kind of reflective, we'll take them, we'll learn lessons at the end of the year or at the end of the quarter, that doesn't fit anymore. And so the idea of general urgency is particularly important. It's also a, hey, the Marines are now, based on a lot of the great technical work that the private sector is doing, they're fighting with prototypes, right? And so where we can be smarter and be data-driven earlier in the pipeline, then we can find return on investment earlier and make that difference. And so the answer is, it just means show me the data and move faster.
Okay. What about pilotless planes, warplanes? Is that going to happen?
I mean, I think unmanned has shown us a lot already. I was at DARPA when Alpha Dogfight, which was the first program, showed through those experiments that the AI was performing a lot better in a dogfight than pilots. And so the faster that's commercialized, think about this as a portfolio. So many things that we're doing are a portfolio. How many manned versus unmanned ships? It depends on impact, right? What are the outcomes of this portfolio? We're now also using AI as a portfolio. Where are our bets? Where are we getting the best return? Where would we change that? So I think the answer to your question is like the same as AI for autonomy. It's when it makes a difference, when it exceeds, when the idea of like not putting our sailors and Marines in harm's way, we want that.
That's fantastic, Justin. Thank you so much. Please join me in thanking him. Thanks for all the work you do. Thank you for keeping us safe. We really appreciate it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so pleased to introduce you to Zane Price, the AI engineer who created Space Llama. Let's hear it for him. Today is a big day. You're an engineer at Booz Allen, and you are literally taking AI to space. You're the only one doing this way. Please explain what you're doing.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be with you, Tammy. That's right. We've taken Space Llama to the space station. This is the first multimodal AI model that we know of that is actually in space. It's in orbit around us right now. So we've partnered with HP, Hewlett Packard Enterprise, and we've put Space Llama, which is part of A2E2, which is our modular intelligence system.
Okay, wait, what is that?
A2E2. So that's advanced AI at the edge.
You got to slow that down for a little because we got a lot of White House reporters here. They don't know this stuff. Tell us about A2E2.
Yes. So it's A2E2. It's AI for edge environments. And so we've taken A2E2 to the space station, and A2E2 contains Space Llama. So this is a partnership that Booz Allen has forged with Meta in order to take their open source models, customize it, and take it to the edge in space.
Mm-hmm. A little NVIDIA's in there too, right? Because John Rizzo's in the...
That's right. Another American...
CUDA. Get a little CUDA in there.
That's right. Another American company. We used NVIDIA's CUDA library exactly to be able to train the model. So it is really a partnership of American technology.
Okay. But what's unique about that? I'm sure AI has been in space before. Am I wrong? Or the internet's been up there, right?
Well, you don't really have internet, right? I mean, we do have limited connectivity with the ISS, right? So the ISS is in orbit, and so we have limited connection windows, right? What we call a communications keyhole. And so it is very challenging to take these types of technologies like LLMs, large language models, and put them in places where we don't have that really high bandwidth connectivity like we do here on Earth. If you take ChatGPT to space, it's not going to work, right? And so we're really pressing forward with being able to take these technologies to the edge. You might think of the edge like Alexa, right? Or something in your house. We're really taking it to the edge,
yeah,
right?
That's beyond a real Earth.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you use Llama. And this means that the astronauts can just, how does it help them? I mean, obviously it's information, but does it make a difference in how they do their work other than the obvious way? I mean, I guess they don't need all those manuals. We always see them looking through
sure.
and all that. How does it change their day-to-day operation?
The big way that it's going to change things for operators in these types of environments, we're thinking space or on the battlefield, is that they have access to information very quickly. So a lot of times if we're in mission critical environments, you don't have time to be able to look through analog information. If you're thinking of technical manuals, if you have an emergency, you might just not have the time to find that information that you need. So with this solution, we're already preloading all of this information, all of these knowledge bases, manuals, binders of information. And so they're able to query that information extremely quickly, get an answer back, Not to mention the answers in the form that they need. So you might have the manual, you might find the chapter you need, then you've got to go and summarize it, right? And figure out how it works for you.
Right.
This solution also does that. Takes that information, it puts it in a format that's useful for the operator immediately.
And how safe is it? I mean, what are the security protocols around it?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. So it wasn't just enough for us to build the solution, right? We wanted to make sure that we could trust it. This is an ongoing conversation in AI. Can we trust this technology? It's actually extremely good at giving you information that might not be factual, but it's in a way that it seems very convincing, right? And particularly if you're not very familiar with that knowledge domain, you might believe it. So we wanted to make sure that operators that are using this in mission critical situations could trust it. So that's one of our innovations. We've made sure that they can trust it. We've evaluated it with safety measures. We've seen actually with Space Llama, which is our custom built version, we've seen on average a 30% increase on Llama out of the box on these safety measures. So we know that we can trust it. We're looking at its faithfulness, whether the answers are relevant, whether the information it's grabbing from the user's knowledge base is actually relevant to answer the question. So we're very serious about safety with these models.
Did you talk to astronauts? I mean, I know Booz Allen has a long relationship with working in space. How did you know what all to put in?
We've developed a solution around maintenance manuals for the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise computer. So that might be, you know, a type of scenario that an astronaut might be in that they need to fix some type of technical piece of equipment, right? And so this is currently on the national labs, the ISS national labs, and that's that first place that we really test space technology and prove it. So that's where we are now.
And how does this help defense tech, national security? Is everyone over at the Pentagon, like Justin, watching what you're doing? And can they apply some of the AI and the principles and the weights that you're using for other purposes?
Absolutely. I think Justin, what he said about having to move fast, I think that is very true. This technology is open source. And so a lot of people have access to it. They're able to build on it and improve it. What Booz Allen is doing is that we're moving fast as well. So we're partnering with NVIDIA. We're partnering with Meta. I mean, these are force multipliers that allow us to bring these technologies to the defense base. And absolutely, we can use this in many types of defense situations, right? I mean, medical evacuation flights where surgeons need fast access to medical information, submarines, aviation. It also is a proving ground for autonomy and satellites, right? We can send this to satellites and look at autonomy there.
As you're talking about this, I was thinking about all the places right here at home. You basically feed your solutions into the AI and you could just plop it somewhere where there's not just no AI, but no technology.
That's right. Right. I mean, we can take this anywhere that there's analog technology. If there's a GPU, we can put it there, right? It's a totally software-defined solution. We uploaded it to the space station, totally software-defined. So exactly. It's very agile. We've developed it that way. We've developed it in a modular way so that technologies can be swapped out as technology improves, as it will, right? Language models are moving very quickly. Llama 4 is out. So we've designed it in a way that it's agile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aren't you so proud of doing this?
Very proud.
What an incredible thing to do, don't you guys think? I just want to say, I mean, the work you've done and your team, I was delighted to meet them. I think this is really remarkable.
I feel very lucky to work with the people I do. Outstanding engineers and technologists, world class. So it's amazing. It's a proof that, you know, we're the envy of the world technologically, right? We're partnering with these American companies. We're doing it. No one else has put this type of AI in space. So we're there.
Well, I think it's incredible. I can't thank you enough. Let's thank Zane Price.
Thank you.
It's so terrific. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you for listening to the Washington AI Network podcast. Be sure to subscribe and join the conversation. The Washington AI Network is a bipartisan forum bringing together the top leaders and industry experts to discuss the biggest opportunities and the greatest challenges around AI. The Washington AI Network podcast is produced and recorded by Haddad Media. Thanks for listening.